This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
And ECOWAS has to send a strong message not only to the continent but to the international community that they are the body to ensure the restoration of the democratic talent tenants throughout the country and throughout the continent.
That was Dr. Yetunde Omedi, a professor of global affairs and politics on ECOWAS, taking a strong stance against Niger's coup. Details coming up. Also, Senegal's main opposition leader Ousmane Sonko has been remanded in jail and his Patriots Party dissolved. And today is the start of World Breastfeeding Week. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. The military coup leader in Niger has indicated they will go back to their barracks, even they will not go back to their barracks, even after the Economic Community of West African States threatened harsh sanctions against them. Those sanctions, ECOWAS says, could eventually include the use of force if the coup leaders do not abandon their takeover by Sunday. Dr. Yetunde Omedi is a professor of global affairs and politics and an advisor on foreign policy at State University of New York, Farmingdale State College. She spoke with VOA's Kate Pond-Dawson about the ECOWAS threat.
Well, we can't necessarily say it is unlikely, but I will say that they would focus on the sanctions that with immediate effect that they will be imposing before even talking about having the use of force on the table, right? So we know that Niger has suspended all financial assistance and transactions with financial, they'll be suspended from all of the financial assistance and transactions with other countries who are part of ECOWAS. And there are other sanctions that they have put in place to, in a sense, economically cripple the country prior to actually even getting to the use of force. And I'm sure they're going to try to exhaust all of those options, and that will be their last resort.
ECOWAS has historically taken a fairly firm stance against coups, the military's taking control of governments. Is this situation any different from, say, what's happened in Burkina Faso in the past few years?
In a sense, now we are in a time where, given everything that has happened in the continent of Africa, I think ECOWAS's stance and their public stance and their firm stance against coups and any form of a military-driven government that is taking over from a democratic government, I think what they're trying to do is to be a little bit more, the word is not forceful, but for the international community to see them as a force in which they are truly going to implement everything they stand by. As you know, the continent of Africa has had many coups over the years, probably the highest, right, in any continent in the world, of course. But ECOWAS knows the responsibility that they hold in averting this and making sure that Niger is not an example of Burkina Faso and having to come to a realization that Niger is being led by a military head who has countered their attacks and who has levied threats against the Nigerian community and also the Nigerian president, who have spoken out this past Sunday stating that they will have swift implementation and will come to a resolution. And they are challenging them to surrender and return to their barracks. But sometimes you are faced with power-hungry military heads who want to overthrow democracy. And ECOWAS has to send a strong message not only to the continent but to the international community that they are the body to ensure the restoration of the democratic talent tenants throughout the country and throughout the continent.
That was Yetunde Omedi, a professor of global affairs and politics at State University. She was speaking with my colleague, Kate Pound-Dawson. General Abdurrahman Chiani has now declared himself head of state in Niger. Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, demands for the immediate release and reinstatement of Niger's elected president, Mohamed Bazoum. But, as reported, it seems to have fallen on deaf ears. To shed more light on the matter, on this complicated and fluid matter, we have in studio Mercy Corps Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa, Whitney Elmer. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Whitney.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So briefly, before we go forward, introduce us to Mercy Corps. What is it?
Mercy Corps is an international humanitarian organization, and we also do longer-term resilience building programming in about 40 countries worldwide and roughly 20 countries in Africa. We've been working in Niger since 2005 to respond to the hunger crisis, and since then we've been providing humanitarian assistance as long as longer-term development programming to people in need in Niger.
Since 2005, a long time. So were you surprised by what happened in Niger this week?
You know, given the trends in the Central Sahel that we've seen over the last few years, I don't believe this was necessarily a surprise. It certainly was identified as a risk, that this could happen in Niger. I think it did catch quite a few people off guard just in terms of the timing. But again, unfortunately, we've seen these trends happening in neighboring countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, for instance. So, and that the impact of that broader insecurity has certainly impacted things in Niger as well.
So what do you think were the factors that led to the coup?
Security being one. In the western part of Niger, there's been pretty widespread insecurity for the last few years along the border with Mali, with Burkina Faso. In the eastern part as well, along the border with Nigeria. So I think that that's one of the main causes. Secondly, I would say, a history of poor governance or governance challenges has also likely been one of the main causes. And with those governance challenges, there's been an impact on, the government being able to respond to the needs of people on the ground. So again, I think that, it's been a vicious cycle of those different factors that led to the current situation.
It seems the military seems to have a little problem. Troops and bases in the country have not been well received by the military in Niger. They believe it undermines them. And Niger is a key ally of Western countries in the fight against insurgency in the region. So what do you think is the thinking of the army right now as they've taken over?
It's difficult to really speculate how things will evolve. Of course, the presence of foreign troops has been a sense of tension or a source of tension. And there are a lot of natural resources in Niger. And so I think that has created some discontent within or across the civil society. So we'll have to see in the coming days. Certainly the sanctions that were recently imposed are likely to have a negative impact on the situation on the ground, whether that's security, whether that's on, the humanitarian situation, so further worsening that. There's a lot to be determined, I think, in the next few days as things continue on.
And the big elephant in the room is that Islamist insurgency. Do you think the new military leaders in Niger might engage the Wagner group to combat the Islamist insurgency?
There's certainly a risk that could happen. We've seen that happen in some of the neighboring countries, although difficult to speculate. Right now, the limited information that's available, doesn't necessarily show that there's any direct linkages there. But I think there is a risk. And for us as a humanitarian organization, our biggest concern is how that might impact protection of civilian populations and being able to respond to the humanitarian needs already on the ground. Niger is facing food insecurity. And there's about one-fourth of the population that is in need of immediate humanitarian assistance in countries where, there are linkages to some of these other outside groups. We've certainly seen a direct impact on, the needs of people on the ground and being able to access those populations. So that's definitely a concern of ours.
And if you see the report card of the Wagner Group, it has been unable to halt terrorist advancements in Mali as well as Burkina Faso? And lastly, do you think the failure of regional organizations such as ECOWAS and the African Union to take a firm stance against military power seizures in Guinea, Burkina Faso, Mali, emboldened the military complex in Niger?
I would say yes. You know, again, I think there's people on the ground in Niger are watching what's happening nearby. Those countries all have close linkages. And so I think it, you know, for groups that are discontent or looking for some type of change, they see examples set elsewhere. And that can, as you said, potentially embolden or, you know, lead them to kind of move forward with those actions.
And you've lived with the people, you've helped the people in Niger. What do you think, what would you like to happen after? I mean, what should be the ending be of this coup d'etat? I mean, what do you envision for a future in Niger?
Sure. I think regardless what happens, you know, and certainly we anticipate that things will probably remain confusing and unclear for, you know, the foreseeable future. As a humanitarian organization, we would want to remind, you know, any foreign governments that are imposing sanctions to make sure that there are carve-outs for humanitarian actors and responders. Again, the most important thing is that civilian populations have access to, you know, the support that they need. And in a country like Niger that is already very fragile, that has faced conflict for a number of years, where people are facing severe hunger, you know, we're in the midst of the lean season right now. Between now and September, they're projecting up to 3 million people that might need access to immediate food assistance. So, you know, whatever happens, we hope that we can continue to access those communities.
Mercy Corps will be there. Thank you. Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa, Whitney Elmer, thank you for your input.
Thank you so much.
France, Italy, and Spain prepare to fly out their citizens and other Europeans from Niger today. The announcement comes after a coup toppled one of the last pro-Western leaders in the jihadist-plagued Sahel region and stoked anti-French demonstrations. President Mohamed Bazoum was overthrown on July 26th by his own guards following recent takeovers in neighboring Mali and Burkina Faso. The French news agency AFP says after hostile crowds gathered Sunday outside the French embassy in Niger, accused France of plotting to intervene militarily. Paris said today it would withdraw 600 citizens and offer to evacuate other Europeans as well. The Italian government said it was putting on a special flight to those Italians who want to leave the country, adding that this was not an evacuation. It said there were around 90 Italian nations in Niamey out of just under 500 across the country. The Spanish Defense Ministry said it is preparing to evacuate more than 70 Spaniards in Niger. And in Senegal, the main opposition leader, Ousmane Sonko, was remanded in jail yesterday and his Patriots Party dissolved. The Interior Minister said in a statement that Sonko and his party has been calling for insurrection. Sonko is popular among Senegal's youth and has been seen as a threat to the ruling party ahead of the 2024 election. For more on the situation, VOA's Douglas Mpuga reached reporter Alpha Diallo in Dakar.
The situation is relatively calm inside, but on the outskirts of Dakar, it's still precarious. Now, in the district called Pikin Gedewa, yesterday, I mean, violence were quite tense because two people are reported killed in Gigansor, in the southern town of in Senegal, where Sonko is the mayor, and also a young man was also reported killed in Pikin. So we are saying that, you know, the violence were so tense yesterday.
So Mr. Sonko is still in jail. Has he been brought back to court yet?
No. He's remanded. He's in detention. In, you know, the Senegalese judicial system, sometimes it takes people who are in detention before they are arraigned in court. So Mr. Sonko spent his first night in jail yesterday, and his lawyers are saying that they will do everything possible to make sure that he will not remain there long. so that he will be, he will try to walk out and fix a deal for his file.
His party, the Patriots of Senegal, was dissolved. What's the reaction of the people there who belong to that party?
The reaction, there are mixed reactions in Senegal. So many people are saying that it is unconstitutional to dissolve a political party that was formed about 9 years ago. But some people are saying that it is, I mean, quite, you know, the right moment to dissolve this particular party, which is led by Mr. Sonko. If given the fact that most of those violence, or most of the violence in the political, in the Senegalese political arena, are always caused by the Patriots. So, so many people are saying it is the right moment just to dissolve his party. But people are saying that the punishment is too harsh for Sonko and his supporters, because you cannot detain him and then at the same time you dissolve his party.
Yesterday there was a demonstration by members of the party. What's the situation like today?
Well, until this morning, nothing happened. I saw on social media they were calling a very big, you know, a demonstration this morning. But then I am in the middle of town, I am in the center of town, but nothing is happening here. And until now, I'm not making reports that something is happening also in the other areas, like, you know, some of these volatile areas, Pekin, Jayawai, and Temlik. And even in Shilanso, the situation is calm. The fact that, you know, two people lost their lives. Until this morning, I had a local radio reporter saying that some people have gone back to business, some shops have reopened. But yesterday, everything was at a standstill.
So, with the Sonko's party dissolved, and Mr. Macky Sall not running again for president, where does that leave the election?
That's a very good question, because some people are saying if they just see how things are evolving, it is likely that even the elections are not going to be held on the 24th of February 2024, because Mr. Sonko is in jail and we know he's in detail, and we don't know what will be the future of his his political future. And his party is also dissolved. Although some people are saying that if Mr. Sonko's party is dissolved and maybe after his trial he is cleared, maybe he can still run as an independent candidate, or he can run with the other coalition members, because Mr. Sonko, since the inception of his party, he has never, you know, run single-handedly. He always run together with coalition. So they said that it is still possible. But his lawyers say that the dissolution of his party is unconstitutional, and that they are going to make sure that they will take the matter to the highest court.
That's reporter Alpha Jallo speaking with VOA's Douglas Mpuga from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. You're listening to African News Tonight. I'm Yehiya Suhib in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. As you know, this week, we're celebrating the 60th anniversary of VOA's English to Africa service. Dozens of people have shared their thoughts about our programs, and here is one.
Good morning. I am a regular fan of VOA programs. I love Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, Straight Talk Africa, and many more. What I have missed so much is the riddles and jokes that followed Nightline Africa. Please, we need more riddles and jokes. I love your sports programs as far back as in the days of Barry Mon. Thanks.
Thank you. We appreciate your loyalty, and you, as well as all our sports fans, can hear from Barry on Friday when he talks about old times with Sonny Young, the host of our Sunny Side of Sports program. As World Breastfeeding Week gets underway today, child advocates are promoting mother's milk as the best way to get babies off to a healthy start and to save lives. The World Health Organization and UNICEF report exclusive breastfeeding could save the lives of more than 820,000 children under 5 years of age every year. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN health agencies report their message about the benefits of breastfeeding is getting across. They note exclusive breastfeeding rates have increased by 10% to 48% globally over the last decade, but fall short of the 2030 breastfeeding target of 70%. They are calling for greater family, communal, and workplace support for nursing mothers. Nina Chad is infant and young child feeding consultant for WHO. Speaking on Skype from Sydney, Australia, she tells VOA the benefits of breastfeeding are as important as breathing fresh air and eating nutritious food. She says the way babies start eating in life is important for keeping them healthy throughout their whole life.
Breastfeeding is important because it protects babies from infectious diseases in infancy that can be life-threatening, and it protects mothers from non-communicable diseases throughout their life course.
To achieve maximum benefit, Chad says babies should be breastfed exclusively for the first 6 months of life. They then should be introduced to nutritious solids and continue to be breastfed up to 2 years of age or beyond. She says research shows such children are less likely to be overweight or obese, do better on intelligence tests, and earn a higher income in adult life. On the other hand, she says millions of children who are not breastfed are stunted and wasted. Many are overweight or obese. She adds many are at risk of infectious diseases such as diarrhea, which can kill them. Chad acknowledges breastfeeding can be challenging in areas of conflict and in emergency situations such as in Sudan or the Horn of Africa. But she says even under these difficult circumstances, it is easier to breastfeed than to formula feed a baby.
When you are in an emergency situation, usually infrastructure, health infrastructure, sanitation infrastructure, water infrastructure is disrupted, and that makes preparing a bottle of formula in a way that is that minimises the risks associated with getting it contaminated, so getting kind of germs in there that can make the baby really, really sick, is almost impossible in that situation.
She says it is much easier for mothers to breastfeed exclusively for the first critical 6 months of a baby's life. In marking World Breastfeeding Week, WHO and UNICEF say greater breastfeeding support in workplaces will boost global breastfeeding rates. They urge governments to ensure all mothers, even those who work in the informal sector, have access to at least 18 weeks of paid maternity leave. They call for new mothers to be given regular breaks so they can continue to breastfeed their children once they return to work. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Nicole Peters, and our engineer, Adrius Rigas, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
In health news, wellness tips, medical breakthroughs, and much more. Our experts inside the United States and beyond will share some insights on living a healthy life. Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including Russia's aggression against Ukraine is high on the agenda as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets with other foreign ministers from the Group of 20 this week in Bali, Indonesia. Join us for Issues in the News.